How long does it take to become a parent? This is Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capital, California, with the Instant Illumination. How long does it take to become a parent? We have dogs here on campus, which are our children. Wonderful mutts. Rex is our big golden retriever, 100-pounder. Child who's 100 pounds is a good child. And then Little Love is an 18-pounder, and he's a mini pin, and he's a handful too. And then the cats. They follow Ingeborg everywhere, and they wake her up in the morning and tell her, we want something different for breakfast. We're a little tired of the same thing. And so Ingeborg gets up, and she goes into all the kettles he's got out there and feeds them. But raising children is quite something. Now, here we are sitting at our round glass table that you can look under and over and through, and we have Rex, who comes and joins us. Well, Rex decides the most important place to be is a place that immobilizes somebody or everybody, so they cannot get up and go and do things and have to just stay here at the table. Rex enjoys having company. He likes having people's company. So he puts his head right between the crux of the chair as the chair's rollers are on the floor, and you cannot roll the chair. You can twist and get up, you know, or you can do something else, but you can't get up because you'll disturb Rex. Now, I said, you cannot get up because you'll disturb Rex. You'll disturb Rex. Well, now, why do we let Rex run our family, run our home, run our life, run? He's a good dog. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Friendly guy, faithful, true, loving, a great guy. But his whole purpose in life, in our life, is to make us happy. If he does anything in our life that doesn't make us happy, then he must be trained to do things that make us happy. We don't whip him, we don't beat him, we don't shout at him. We just train him to do things that make us happy. Now, you can be sure, if Rex didn't make us happy, he'd be history. He would be gone. If Rex didn't make everyone happy, if he was not a people dog and an everyone dog, I wouldn't have him here. I wouldn't want anything to do with him, because this is a people place. And if Rex wants to become a people, fine. We'll even set him a place at the table. Some people would object. That's only because their dog is too small to sit at a place at the table. But not for Rex. Rex can sit at a place at the table without even having a chair, and his head fits right on top of the table. And his tongue can reach anywhere. He's an amazing boy. Now, he lays there with his head under the chair in such a way that whoever's chair it is, they cannot move. And why can they not move? Because Rex is the boss. Rex rules the roost. Rex tells what's to be done, what's not to be done. And Rex does not respect us for letting him do that. Rex does not respect us for letting him do that. Rex respects us when we require him to be what makes us happy. Now, you think that Rex likes to sit? Maybe. You think he likes to stand? You think he likes to lay down? Well, when I tell him to lay down, and I say, good boy. I say, sit, and I say, good boy. Do you think that makes him happy? You bet it does. Now, he doesn't get to be happy unless he's following some order from me. He goes into the kitchen because he wants some attention. And if he gets a treat, that's all the better, but he wants some attention. So he lays right in the middle of the traffic lane, right in the middle, and then spreads out. Mm-hmm. And doesn't lay to one side or the other, but, and he just lays flat and puts his paws out to either side, and you really got to stumble over him. And what do? We let him be. We don't say, Rex, here, and down. He'll do it. He's happy to. Oh, he'll scooch back over when you're not looking to be in the middle of the lane again and see if you're really serious. But are little children like that too? Are big children like that too?
Yes.
Come on, honey, give me a kiss. No. Oh, give me a kiss. No. Would you like a diamond ring? Sure. Give me a kiss. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ellen says you got to pay for these things. No. And I say, oh, come on, give me a kiss. Give me a hug. Give me a snuggle. I saw a YouTube device. It said, hug me. And this guy's got a big sign up there. And he's a pleasant-looking fellow, long hair and slim and wearing casual clothing. And he's walking around this place, as like New York City or someplace, wanting to get a hug. More in the South than New York. But anyhow, and so he's going around holding up a sign. And maybe one person out of 100 comes to give him a hug. And then some people give him a big hug. Well, he started to make progress because he started believing in himself. And people were on skateboards, and they'd come skating along, and they'd jump off the skateboard and into his arms and give him a hug. And others would come on their bikes, and they'd throw the bike down, run over and give him a hug. And, you know, like it was a put-on thing, you know. But then the police came along and said, that's a no-no, you can't do that. And so they just merely said, okay, we'll put out a petition and get enough signatures to allow us to do it. I didn't know you could do that, but I guess you can. So they put out a petition, 100 signatures, 150, 200. Pretty soon they had 10,000 signatures. And when they got 10,000 signatures, they ran up to the policeman and hugged him. And then they had permission to do it then. That apparently was a set-up thing. But people would dash up to this young man and jump on him and hug him and hug him. The old ladies, they could hardly reach his belly. He'd bend down on one knee and he'd hug him, you know. And just wonderful, just really wonderful. And the whole area became all huggable, you know. And but he had to stand up for it. He had to stand up for it. If he hadn't stood up for it, the game would have never happened. And it was totally his game. And there's no reason for the hugging, except people started making bigger signs for him and carrying themselves. And girls kept carrying the signs, you know, come hug me, you know. And of course, the guys are just going crazy about hugging these beautiful girls. But it's just a matter, they want attention. Now, whenever you give a person a hug or anyone hugs you, you or they just want attention. And when you hug back, you want attention too. Now, is that bad or good? That's neither bad nor good. But the thing is, why do you want attention? What are you going to do with the attention that you get? Is the attention going to be satisfying? Is Rex going to get stroked when he's laying there in the middle of the floor? Or is he going to get food dropped to where he is? Perhaps sometimes he gets food dropped. So he learns that that's a good place to be. Now, what do you do? How do you raise your children? How do you raise your thought children? The beings that you live with every day, day in, day out. How do you raise your thought children when your thought children say, I want another piece of cake. Ooh, it's so good. Do you say, go ahead? Or, I want ice cream. And this, or, I want something just because somebody else has it. And are you in charge of those thought children? Are you in charge? Is your personal esteem so low that your thought children make demands on you and you have to say yes just because you want the circumstances to look favorable to you? That's what people do. That's what people do. I have people coming to me all the time, as you can well imagine, each offering me a plate with cake and ice cream on it. This has been going on for years. People just love to do it. The mother comes out, the father comes out, the sister comes out, the brother comes out, the people come out, the guests come out, the whoever is at the party, they come. They got to give Dr. Byerly a piece of cake and give him some ice cream and stuff like that. You know, look at that fat pig there. We got to feed it, you know. And so, do they do that? Yes, they do. They do that, but do I take it? Yes, I do. I take it, and I give it to someone else. Or I set it aside, or I just leave it. But I take it. I let them have their gift-giving circumstance where they feel they're going to put me in their debt. And I know what they're doing. I've been around the block twice, you know. And so I know what's going on. Now, I'm not going to let my thought children push me around. And my thought children are myself, my emotions, my appetite, my feelings, in any way, my dogs, my cats, my associates, my parents, my family, whoever. It's those are my thought children. Now, what am I doing with those thought children? What am I saying to those thought children? I say, thank you very much for your generosity. Thank you for thinking of me. But now I have the perfect freedom to do anything I want with your gift. But that was for you. I made those socks just for you. I made that hat just for you. I bought this just for you. Well, thank you very much. And if it's just for me, I will be able to give it just away as I wish. You know? If you buy something without strings attached, in other words, you give it to me without expecting me to have to keep it, you know, then I'll accept it. But if you expect me to have to keep it, I'll still accept it, and then I'll give it away faster than you can blink an eye. Because I will not be possessed by anybody, by any gifts or anything. Now, if you say, Dr. Barry, I love you. Will you help me? I have a healing need. I said, well, it's nice that you love me. And it's nice you have a healing need, but why do the two go together, you know? You know? And then I say, what is your healing need? You want to have better health? You want to have better relationships in your world? Blah, blah, blah. What do you want? What's your healing need? And so then what do they tell me? They tell me, my healing need is in my body. Okay, you're whole and perfect. Well, that's not enough. You got to say something more important than that. And I say, well, here we have the Catholic priest over here. He has a whole ritual of statements that he uses. We have Mary Baker Eddy. She is so fantastic. The young electrician was talking to me about Mary Baker Eddy. And he says, are you like Mary Baker Eddy? Are you like scientists, Christian Science? And I said, we would like to be like Christian Scientists, but we don't have the guts to do it. Mary Baker Eddy says, no doctors, no nothing. You believe in principle. You believe in principle only. And I said, I wish we had the guts to say that, but we don't. We only have the guts to say, this is the principle and it works if you have the guts to follow it and not be afraid that it doesn't work. And that's what people are. And he says, wow, yeah, I hadn't heard of it just quite like that, but you're right. You're right. He said, I studied it too. He said, I studied a lot of metaphysics. And he said, I really have a metaphysical home, metaphysical ranch, because whenever animals come on our property that don't belong there, I just holler at them, go, 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 go. And I go out in the yard and chase them away and say, now, don't come back here, don't come back here, you know. And if I take a gun, I shoot it in the air, because I'd been a forest fish and game ranger for many years. And he says, and I don't like to kill things. I like to have people be protected, you know, people. I like to have animals be protected on my property. And he said, and they are. And so forth. Now, what are you going to do with your children, your thought children, your dogs, your cats, your husbands, your wives, your sons and daughters, your grandmas and grandpas, your moms and pops? You know, what are you going to do? If Jesus saw you, what would he say? Say it quickly or shut up.
She's a good girl.
If Jesus saw you, what would he say? He'd say, be yourself and have fun.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. How quickly we forget. If Jesus saw you, he would say what?
Be yourself and have fun.
And would he say anything else?
No.
Sure he would.
This is my daughter, whom I'm very proud.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yes. This is my own, in whom I'm very proud. Don't you mess with my kid. My kid is perfect. My kid is fantastic, you know? Wouldn't Jesus say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what else would Jesus say?
Like yourself.
It is done unto you
according
to your thought. Now, how have you trained your thought children to live in your family, in your household? How have you trained your thought children to be part of your world? Have you trained them to be part of your world by giving them perfect freedom to do anything they please? Or do you train them to have the family rules, the family program? Bee is an old tiger. Anybody walks into Bee's house in Switzerland, it's 90 degrees below zero and everything is freezing, it's miserable. And she says, before you come out of that hall, take off your shoes. You don't come in this house with those shoes on. So here they're coming in from the freezing cold, and they're standing in this freezing cold hallway, taking off their cozy warm shoes, and then walking on her tile floor and getting their feet just froze, you know? Is that true? Is that true? Yeah, that's true. That's what she does. Beatrice is the tiger. And so what do people think of her? People think that Beatrice is such a fabulous woman, so spiritually illumined, so magnificent, that when Beatrice speaks, the ground trembles. And when Beatrice speaks, everyone bows to her request without a second thought. And when Beatrice says, take off your shoes, she's not trying to pretend she's better than somebody else. She's just being equal to her peer, Sai Baba, who says, you come in my presence, you take off your shoes. She's just being equal to God, who said to Moses, Mo, the ground upon which you stand is holy ground. Take off your old sandals, you know. And Moses quickly took off his sandals. Now you see, what did you think of Moses for obeying God? What did you think of the followers of Jesus for obeying Jesus? What do you think of your children, your husband and wife, your family, your whomever, from obeying what you asked them to do? What do you think of them? You think they really are the master, because they're doing what I asked them to do. Because a master could only ask another master to do what a master would do, right?
Right.
A master could only see another master. So if anyone asks you to do something and you believe that they're accomplished, they're quite good, do it. Do it. Now, a lot of you go around with your tongue in your cheek looking at me saying, master. You say, oh, Herb, you can do this. Oh, Herb, you don't know what I can do. I would never show you. I would be off the witch's council if I did. But I would never show you. You have it happen to you, and you don't know why or how. And whether it was you or me or something else, you'll never know. That's not your privilege. Your privilege is just to believe in yourself.
Cool.
And when you do, then what happens? Then miracles take place in your life. Now, are you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. If you're ready for that, then just remember one thing. There is nobody in this world who is obsequious. I like that word.
Yeah.
Nobody in this world who is obsequious. Nobody in this world who is a doormat for somebody else, who allows people to walk over them, who allows people to make demands upon them. Nobody. Anita, go fly a kite And Anita says, oh, I'd love to. The wind is perfect. Yeah. And I think maybe if I get a big enough kite, maybe I can sail like the flying nun, you know. And so Anita doesn't take it as a threat. Someone else might take it as a threat and say, go fly a kite. Oh, you don't like my idea? You don't like my presence? Where'd they get all that idea? Maybe they're right, but where'd they get it? Anita is so naive, she doesn't even know I was kicking her in the pants, you know. And then I was giving her a hard time. She said, oh, great, I get to fly a kite. I get to go fly. Maybe I'm light, and maybe I can take off like the flying nun. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. You know? What did the nun wear?
The hat, a nun hat.
What was the name?
Cornet.
The cornet. See? When it comes to magic and mystery, you know the words.
Yes.
Okay, Anita, I don't ask you to do this, but if you are genius enough to make a cornet like the flying nun,
you can fly.
I bet you could fly around here sometimes. But isn't it interesting how she could fly out over the sea and come back? She could fly along with the airplanes and turn around and go the other way. And that she could do all these things. But that's the neat thing about it.
Yeah.
That's the neat thing. You don't pay anything. You don't think it's illogical at all. The whole thing of a nun flying because of her cornet is illogical. And once you've gone that route, the rest doesn't make any difference, does it?
True.
No, and she can land on her own porch again.
Yes.
You know? Now, isn't that interesting? We have to get to that state of consciousness in us if we would like to be the masters of ourselves. And if we would like to rule ourselves, we have to start with our dogs. I walked up here and I thought, oh, Rex, you're going to walk with me. Come on now, good boy. And he was up on the upper level and I was on the lower level. So I walked and went around the bend, and then here he comes trotting across the field there. Now, every time I have any other human beings in my life and they are present, they think, oh, I got to go get Rex. He's not walking with his dad. I got to get Rex. He's doing, I got to do that. And they put all this garbage in motion. Whenever you see Rex, say, Herb must be close by. Because Rex is always with Herb. Instead of saying, oh dear, you know, Rex is here. What have we got to fear?
Oh my
Herb
God.
Must be near.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah. Now, yeah, that's silly. That's funny. But the thing is, I train Rex to do the things I want him to do. And he's pretty good at it. But if I were just to give a little more definiteness, he'd come through every time, and I will perhaps. Right, Rex? Right. So think on these things. Life is
fun.
Wonderful.
Being myself and having fun.
Be myself and having fun.
Amen. I love you.